Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
In the spirit of reconciliation, the Swapcast acknowledges the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea and community. We pay our respect to the elders, past and present, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today.
We're talking again
about body swapping.
Welcome to the Swapcast podcast, the world's only podcast dedicated to body swap movies. I'm your host, Paul Mitzi, and with me we have
Lucy Thomas
and
Brendan Levi.
In today's episode, we'll be breaking down the 2013 horror comedy All Cheerleaders Die, where a group of high school cheerleaders die in a car crash and are brought back to life, some in the wrong bodies, but all with the thirst for blood. But before we get into that, just a reminder that we absolutely love hearing from our listeners and we welcome film suggestions for future episodes. So please reach out to us on Twitter or Instagram. Send us an email at theswapcastpodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to support our show, reviewing us is the best way possible. So to say thank you, if we reach 100 star ratings on iTunes and Spotify, we will finally fulfill our fans' most common request to review
Face Off.
So, onto All Cheerleaders Die.
Before we move on, I should mention that also I spoke with Nicolas Cage and he'll come on and do the episode where we talk about Face Off.
So everyone better get their reviews in.
Yeah, you couldn't get John Travolta. What is he doing?
I didn't want him to know like my name and any details about me.
Yeah, he might try to recruit us to Scientology.
I'm very susceptible.
Yeah, this might become Scientology cast by next week. So, onto All Cheerleaders Die. This is a very over-the-top film full of gore.
Would you say that?
Well, it is. It's full of gore, boobs, gross-out gags. But did it amount to something fun or was it all just a bit too much? Lucy.
Yeah, it was too much. When I went to watch this movie, it was like, comedy. No. I'm so glad, like, in a way that I've already recommended it because I can keep bringing it up. But, you know, it's that Jennifer's body, like, that's what they're trying to do. And they did not nail it, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, yeah, this film, like, wants to be Jennifer's body. It wants to be The Craft. It wants to be, like, Jawbreaker or Ginger Snaps. But, yeah, it does not make the mark. And, yeah, like you said, comedy. I remember when I started watching, I'm like, I'm watching a comedy. And as the movie went on, I'm like, did they remember they're making a comedy?
Like, to bill it as comedy first, like, comedy. Yes, very confused. What did you
Nothing
think, Paul? Did
comedy,
you love it?
Nah, like, I liked some of the elements of it. I liked kind of what they were going for, but I don't think it met the mark. And I think it seems like this film, something happened in the edit, for one. Like, something got messed
up. Something definitely happened in the edit because the edit is horrendous.
The edit is one of the most poorly edited films I've seen in a long time.
Did they not get enough coverage and they had to like pad it out with slow motion walking and a soundtrack? But no, the movie's way too long already. So I don't even know why they did that.
Yeah, it makes me wonder though. The edit is so bad, it makes me wonder, like, is there a different version of this that on the cutting room floor somewhere?
But why would you edit it to make it so bad?
Yeah, but sometimes these things
they got
happen,
rid of
like,
all the comedy.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just not quite there. Again, like I love, I love films that go balls to the wall. I love films yeah. that go like completely over the top.
I feel like this was reminiscent even of Detention, like where you're throwing all these like tropes into one film. Like we've like for some reason this is a body swap.
And that's what I was just going to say. When did this film come out? Because I feel like they truly just shoehorned the body swap in there so that our podcast would reveal it.
It did predate the podcast.
Oh, really?
It added someone didn't make a whole film for us. It added nothing to the story. They didn't explore it at all, and they didn't explain why it happened.
Yeah. Do you understand why it happened, Paul?
It happened.
The colorful glowing gems that flew into people's bodies that brought them back to life. Was there something about that switched bodies?
Okay. So my understanding of it is
the sentient swirling blood was that like touched and brought them back to life. Was that a part of it?
Yeah, so what it was...
These are things that happen in the movie, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, yeah, because you need to do the plot. God help you.
Okay, do you want me to do the plot or do you want me to try to explain the body swap specifically? Because I can try to do that.
Yeah, explain these zombie Power Rangers to us because I have no idea what was going on.
So there's a witch in this school and all the cheerleaders are at this party and she's kind of... She's in love with one of the cheerleaders, so she's kind of onlooking it, and she's got these like magical stone that she's doing witchy things with, and she assigns each of the stones to one of the cheerleaders, and then all the cheerleaders end up in a car crash, and she drags all their bodies out of the water and lays them all around, and then all the magical stones drop, and then the blood from the dead cheerleaders flows down and each touches one of the crystals that she's assigned to the cheerleaders. Three of them touches their own crystal, but two of them, their blood touches the crystal of the sister. Make sense,
this movie was genius then.
Yeah.
But like,
how did you know which stone was which person?
Well, I just...
I could not decipher that. Like, wait, you're saying that they had unique stones, each of them?
Yeah, because remember, she was explaining the stones to the nerdier sister before the car crash.
Yeah.
And she was like, this is you. This stone is you. This is your sister. This is someone that's close to you. Like, she was telling them who each stone represented.
So I'm an idiot because I couldn't choose which, figure out which color they were.
Yeah.
Yeah, the film, like, it did that, but then it never actually, like, explained it properly. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of that kind of stuff
It's
just kind of nothing's really explained
properly. Which is fine. If I was laughing, that would be fine. I don't care.
Exactly.
It's dumb, but if I'm laughing, that's fine.
Yeah, I think this film's version of humor is just saying the word bitch over and over again.
The only thing that was like maybe mildly funny is when that guy lost his virginity and he was bragging to his friend and he was like, get up in that freezer. And he was like, what? And he's like,
it's supposed to be ice cold, right?
It's supposed to be cold in there, right? That was like mildly funny.
Yeah, because he unknowingly had just lost his virginity to a dead person. So yeah. He didn't realize.
Yeah. Like, yeah, there were parts, like the ending was my favorite bit.
Yeah, because it meant the movie was over.
No, where like the girl, because at the start we're following this cheerleader in this like found footage sort of thing and she dies, and then we see her like burst through the dead body of the villain as a zombie with a red glowing eye, and I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, why?
And then it comes up with a title card that reveals that the film is actually part one. And thank God, the sequel never occurred, so we can thank our lucky stars.
All right, before we go much further, Paul, do you need to do the 30-second plot?
Okay. Yeah, we've been trying to help you by explaining random shit, but...
Now, like, forgive me, it has been, like, 5 days since I've watched this film.
Well, that will make it all the more enjoyable for me to hear you try your best.
Okay, so do the timer and I'll give it a go.
Set, go.
Okay, so there's like this really mean cheerleader and she dies, and then there's this other girl that was friends with her, so she decides to join the cheerleading squad and take her spot, but then they all die in a car accident, and then they get brought back to life with magic crystals, and they're all like hungry for blood, and they want to kill all the boys, and then they find out one of the boys, the head football guy raped her, and then they have a fight.
That was pretty good.
Our main character is established that she's trying to become a cheerleader to enact a revenge plot. But this revenge plot makes zero sense because it's a revenge plot against a football, like, what are they called? Quarterback who raped her. But
she does it through the cheerleaders?
Yeah. All she's doing is, like, becoming a cheerleader. And I don't exactly understand what her revenge plot is.
Well, but she then it's did like, steal her girlfriend.
Yeah.
And then the film totally forgets about it because then everybody dies and they all become zombies. And it's like, well, why even introduce that? And then he becomes more of like a villain at the end that they're fighting. He starts like killing them off and absorbing their magic crystals.
Well, I think he was a villain pretty early on in the piece. when he punched that woman out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I was writing notes and I wrote down, like, yeah, stop, like, verbally and physically antagonizing the giant, aggressive, like, crazy buff dude. And then instantly, as I wrote that, I wrote, oh shit, because he punches her out.
The five girls, obviously, they die and then they come back to life, but they're technically zombies. They like suck blood out of people and take the energy. So
vampires? Zombie vampires.
Zombie vampires.
But it's like vampires get made, you become a vampire because you get bitten by not, like, it's like, there's just so much mixing of like genres and stories. And
two of the cheerleaders are sisters and then they swap bodies. And the nerdier younger sister's suddenly in her super religious but extremely hot older sister's body and then immediately decides to fuck her boyfriend that she never had sex with because she was so religious when she was in her own body. And then I guess this is the only kind of body swap hijinks that we have in this film, that they use the body swap in order to have sex with a guy that she, I guess, wanted to have sex with.
Essential to the plot.
Yeah, and then when the religious sister finds out, she immediately kills the guy.
And also everyone orgasms at the same time as well.
Oh, yeah, when she's fucking him.
Which the first time that happened, I was so confused because she really did sound like she had hurt herself.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I thought she was dying.
Yeah, they show her, like, writhing on the floor and we're like, oh, is she having, like, some pains from not eating or something like that?
Yeah.
And then it cuts to 6 minutes earlier and shows us, oh, actually, no, she's having an orgasm with, like, everyone else.
Oh, no. Yeah. You should get that scene too.
Yeah, and everyone in the school is just witnessing these girls, like, dropping to the ground and screaming and nobody's doing anything. They're just like, oh, that's so funny.
Let's film it. Yeah. Yeah.
This film actually reminded me a bit in spirit of Pretty Cool in a few ways, like that.
A damning review if ever there was one.
There's also a scene like when they're all really hungry for blood and it's having must be having an effect on their body and one of them just starts farting.
That's very Pretty Cool, really. That's see the parallel there.
Yeah, but it's like, yeah, I don't know. But the thing is...
Oh,
like,
actually...
What?
The one part I like actually laughed at, and Lucy's gonna hate this.
Was the fart joke? It was the fart.
It wasn't
joke.
The fart. It was when the girl, like, they're all asleep in the room, and the girl's got the cat on her, and she wakes up so aggressively, she throws the cat across the room, and it kills dies. The cat.
Yeah. That made me laugh as well. That made me laugh.
I was like, what?
The comic timing was very good.
Very good. Editor on point.
Yes. The one time he actually did his job in this film. The thing is, doing the research of this film is that it has a cult following.
How? Why?
Especially among lesbians.
Yeah, like every review I read was what, like, men die, lesbians kiss, 5 stars.
So maybe this is a case of this film is just not made for us. We just don't hate men enough and we don't like women enough.
Speak for yourselves. I hate them plenty, but that is funny.
Yeah. But again, like, it's funny that lesbians like this film, because to me, in my opinion, this felt very male gazy.
Yeah, like, completely.
Like,
and also, like, how terrible were the characters? Like, that girl was so mean to the goth girl, her ex-girlfriend, got with someone else, and then at the end she's just, like, all back into her and whatever. It's like, you guys aren't rounded characters. Like, there would be no reason that you two would be into each other again. I was very...
Yeah, but men die and lesbians kiss.
Yeah.
5 stars.
Girl power, yeah. And keep going, Paul, sorry.
Did you know that the goth girl is from Adelaide?
No way.
Not just
she's
that.
She's from our hometown.
Her and her brother just won an Oscar, right?
Yeah. Or nominated.
What
is it? What? Did he win? No, he was nominated.
Who is it? Who's her brother?
Cody Smith McPhee is her brother.
What's he from?
He was in... fuck.
The dog one. I can't remember.
He was in Year of the Dog.
Okay, whoa.
With Kirsten Dunst. Yeah. He's been in heaps of films.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
Definitely recommend it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she was also in Neighbours. So there's the two like main characters of this movie are from Neighbours.
Yeah, they are. How about that? This we need to stop recording because she's from Adelaide. Does she live here now? She might hear this.
Well, she hasn't been in anything since 2016, so yeah, maybe.
Ooh. Well,
it's really hit her career, this one.
Surely your brother is like an Oscar nominated actor. You can just live in his entourage.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to be, you don't have to work at Woolies, you know, you can just be in his periphery.
I didn't look too far into it, but I swear I saw something that said she's a rap artist now. So maybe she's moved on.
Oh my God. I want to hear this so bad.
Yeah. look, can we just start at the very beginning and just say that this cheer squad was really shit as well?
Yeah.
They did their routine and I was like, this is so underwhelming. It was like, bring it on, you ain't. It was bad. Yeah.
Well, you know, Bring It On, like, did the work. Like, they put those actresses through months of cheerleading practice. They put,
like, they were ripped. Yeah.
Yeah, they got experts to, like, choreograph those routines based them on, like, real routines out there. Like, obviously this film didn't care that much about the cheerleading. It was just an excuse to get the girls in
cheerleader outfits.
And, oh my God, the outfits that they wore, holy shit. Mm. They were like black leather skirts for a high school cheerleading team.
Yeah, it wasn't the most believable school environment I've ever seen. But yeah, it was just, yeah, everything was undercooked. There's like...
It was really unfocused.
The mean jocks as well were just like that one of them was supposed to be nice, but like you never really got to know him in any meaningful way. And
but that was supposed to be like a red herring because he was supposed to be like... That, like, in usual movies, that guy would save the day. He's the nice guy who comes in and, like, realizes that, you know, the guys on the team are assholes and I'm going to help these girls, but he just gets mowed down. Like,
yeah.
So, yeah.
Lesbians rule. Yeah.
We don't need men. Have you watched any of his other films? This guy
because there's two directors of this film. So one of the directors I've seen, I know who killed me, the Lindsay Lohan, like, trash fest, which was, I remember enjoying just as a terrible movie. And then the other director directed a film called May, which I remember enjoying, but it's been a long time since I've watched either of those films.
Well, yeah, like, a lot of their films seem to be centric on that sort of thing. Like, because isn't May as well, like, a supernatural girl getting picked on, Carrie sort of thing? No?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. It's been ages since I watched it, but yeah, a lot of the same imagery I'm remembering. So
yeah,
and like those films as well have cult following. So when I put this forward for us to review, I genuinely was hoping that it was a film we'd actually all enjoy. But
yeah, because you know that like the Lindsay Lohan movie you're talking about, like I would have liked to have watched like a funny bad movie, yeah. Like that was self-aware, but this just didn't hit for me.
It wasn't quite bad enough, and it definitely wasn't good enough.
And like I'm like I can't think of anything. I'm like, oh, Caitlin Stacey was really good in this or that, but I'm like pro her. Like I'm like she should.
Please Like Me.
Yeah,
I mean, what can you do?
Well, she's in that like that new series. What's it? Bridge and Tunnel. That's just come out.
Have you been watching?
I haven't watched it yet. I don't know if I will. Doesn't look interesting.
are there any lesbian cheerleaders killing people?
I know. I looked at the trailer and I was like, this just doesn't have any of that. And I was just like, switch off.
That's my new thing. Like, if a show doesn't have that, I don't watch.
Where's my phone? Where is my phone?
Hannah, if you could just shut the fuck up for 2 seconds.
I'm not Hannah!
You heard what we thought of the movie, but how attractive did we find the cast? Now it's time for Hot or Not. Take it away, Brendan.
As a cheerleader? Okay, let's go.
Brilliant.
Are they a toot? Are they a boot? wait, I've lost the words.
Are they ugly? Are they ugly?
Are they a toot or a boot? Are they ugly or cute? Tell me if they're hot or not.
Ding.
Ding.
Everyone
is beautiful
in their own way.
I actually think the song sounds better when it's done like a cheer.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Let's do the whole thing.
All right.
Are they a toot?
Are they a boot?
Are they a boot?
We can't ugly? Clap on this three-way thing. It's driving me insane.
Okay, please, God.
We need to do live shows again. I miss doing this altogether.
All the characters in this are hot. Let's just... You had to pass that test to even get in the door to read the script.
I don't know. I have to argue with that one.
I really need to make a point that some people are ugly in this film.
Sionia Smith McPhee as Lena the Goth. I was just not vibing with her whole look.
I mean, the goth aesthetic isn't for everyone, I guess. And she did lay the eyeliner on very thick.
Yeah, I didn't like her look. I didn't like her personality. I didn't like the fact that, you know, she was holding that cat all the time and she named it after her ex.
Yeah, that was weird for sure.
So I'm not giving her a heart.
The character, no, but I bet there's a beautiful girl under there, no doubt.
Oh, yeah. If you look at her outside of the film, she's a beautiful woman, but not in this film.
If you were to rate two goths, so if you were going with... is it Fairbuzak Bulk from the
Fraser Bulk?
Oh my god, she is so Fraser Bulk wild.
Versus Smitty here.
Smitty.
which one was the hotter goth for you, Paul?
Oh, Fairbuzak for sure.
Yeah, Fairbuzak? For sure. She's I don't know what the word I'm trying to think of. Can you? She's
queen.
The gold standard. She's the goth
She's
standard.
She's the queen of, the goth standard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, but she also has crazy eyes. Like,
yeah, but
crazy,
just, I just love
eyes.
Seeing her yell. Her mouth opens so wide and she's just so phenomenal.
And a smile
I love
in it,
her.
And you feel fear.
Should have we
I'm
just
dying.
Reviewed the craft?
Yes. Can we just have a whole podcast that is just a different element of the craft every episode? I would so do that.
Was she better with magic blonde hair or with her normal brunette hair? Robin Tunney in The Craft. Remember when she like changes her hair blonde using magic?
It was very, very bad, like CGI that did that.
CGI blood, yeah.
So the problem with this film is that on IMDb, like, nobody is sorted correctly. So it's not, like, in order of, like, how major the character is.
Yeah.
And because I don't know who anyone is, it's very hard to find.
Just go, like this. Ready? Blondie. Hot.
They were, like, all the cheerleaders are very hot.
Yeah.
Who do you think was the hottest cheerleader?
I don't even, like, care.
Everyone say your favorite hot cheerleader.
I'm three.
One, two, three. Kirsten Dunst.
Repressed.
I think, did any of you like any of the jocks in this film?
No.
No.
The nice guy, he was hot.
I feel like maybe was he not the greatest actor? I feel like...
Oh, he was terrible, but he was... Did you see his six-pack when they all came for the pool party?
The instant a guy punches out a woman and you're still hanging with him day to day and you're still like, oh, this guy, I don't know about it. You're a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
That is true.
Like the fact that none of them stepped in and like kicked the shit out of him, like...
Yeah, so he punched a girl and then all the girls are like trying to call the police. Then he throws the phone away. Then those girls run to their car so they can drive somewhere else. And then all the guys get in a car together and chase the girls in their car. Like, it's pretty shit behavior.
And he's sitting in the back like, I don't know about this, guys.
Yeah.
But, you know, peer pressure is very strong, and you got to understand that. Like, you got to make exceptions. Boys will be boys.
Just because it's the internet, we just have to establish that Brendan is being sarcastic. Just putting it out there.
Sorry if I get us cancer, guy.
Did you guys appreciate the full zoom in on the character's breasts when she took her bra off in the bathroom?
Yeah,
I felt that was a very subtle shot.
Oh my god, that was pretty cool.
That was pretty cool.
It was like the movie, pretty cool. I was like, really, we're doing this?
The quote I'm going to put on this episode is, Lucy, the bit where the girl takes her bra off was pretty cool.
Please, wait. I feel unwell. That's not kind.
I assume the reason they did that was because they got a different actor. Like, anytime you see a shot where it's just purely, like, the body, like, surely it was. That's why it was so zoomed in, right?
Because it was a stunt double, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Or they just that's really why wanted... There. Or they just really want to do a close-up on her boobs.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. One of the two. Terrible.
They should have at least made it funny by having, like, icicles on them or something.
Yeah.
Would you like us to move on, Lucy?
I'm just pointing out again that Pretty Cool is a movie that featured lots of boobies. So I didn't think this shot was pretty cool.
It was pretty
cool. I thought it was pretty stupid.
We'll let the audience decide.
And I mean, look, they were nice boobs. So, I mean, I guess that is cool, but, you know, gratuitous.
It worked!
What works? This?
My crazy wicker bullshit. It works! These work!
Then why am I in my sister's body, Lena? Why would you do that to me?
I don't know. I wasn't trying to, Martha.
You can change his back, right? I don't know.
So now it's time for Opinion Swap, where we find some entertaining reviews of All Cheerleaders Die from across the interwebs. So this one's from Monica G on Letterboxd, and she gives it 3 stars. And she says, the best part was when they started kissing each other and then killed men. This one's from...
They're all going to say that.
Yeah.
Literally, like, I was like, okay, another one. Like, they were all exactly the same. But anyway, this one's from Lee on Letterboxd. And they say, and they gave it 3.5 stars. And they said, men are shit. And those girls had every right to do what they did.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, was there any guys who, like, died who weren't, like the guy across the street, what was his deal?
It was his fault for being in his own. He was in his own living room. Then a girl in lingerie rocks up in his living room, and he offers to feed her. And then they all eat him.
Mm.
So obviously he deserved to die.
Yeah,
because he seemed more concerned than like, hey.
Yeah,
I don't know. I thought he seemed pretty creepy.
It would be a pretty jarring moment to just be like eating breakfast in the morning, and there's all of a sudden this bloodied, lingerie-clad woman wanders into your house acting crazy.
Yeah. Then did she try to drink milk and vomit into the sink?
Yes.
Yeah.
Did I ever tell you about when I pick up the hitchhiker?
That was vile. Oh, my God, what?
Did I ever tell you about when I picked up a hitchhiker?
No.
Like, I was driving down... I won't give roads and stuff because no one will understand. But I was driving down the road and... there was this woman like walking in traffic and I come to a stop and it looked like her clothes, like I thought her clothes had been like ripped or like torn. So like my immediate reaction, like I opened the door and I like just grab a jumper to give it to her. Cause I'm like, I'm about to hear some like horrendous story. And she just looks at me handing her a jumper and she just looks at me oddly and she's like, can I get a lift? And I was like, yeah, sure. And so I'm driving along. I'm like, so where do you need to go? And she's like it was like somewhere near the hospital or whatever. And I was like, sure. And as we were driving, she just starts laughing maniacally.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, what's so funny? And she's like, you have a dog's butt for a face.
Oh my God, bitch. I'm fucking driving you in my car.
And I was like, hey, that's not nice. And like in my head, I'm like, oh shit, where am I, what's going on? And like she just starts talking about like cutting my head off with an axe and stuff.
You're kidding me.
And I'm like, that's not nice. If you don't stop saying stuff like that, I'm gonna drop you off here.
You would, if this is a horror movie, you would be so fucking
so dead.
So the second time I picked her up, I was driving down the road and I pulled up to the lights and then I get a knock on my window and it's her, but she's wearing like a business suit. And I am just like, what the hell? And I open the door. She gets in.
Is this a bit? What is happening?
No, this happened. And I'm like, so where do you need a lift to? And she's like, I've got an interview at the bank. And I'm like, okay. And I said, and as we're driving, I go, you know, I picked you up before. And she says, well, this is my stop. And I let her out. And that's the end of my story.
Were you just an Uber driver or?
No, I was like very Christian and thought like this person was brought into my life and I should, you know, it's for a reason. Now it's just a comical story where I didn't die.
That is crazy. Yeah.
Well, we're glad she didn't chop your head off. So.
Or suck my blood.
Yeah, because then you wouldn't have been able to, you know,
do this podcast and watch this movie.
And watch all cheerleaders die. Would have been a loss. All right, so this one's from V on Letterboxd. You gave it 3 stars. And they say, the editing is shit. How could I give a lower rating to a film whose main message is that lesbian love is all-powerful and magical? I can't be objective about this, and I can be very grateful that it exists.
There you go.
Like, I'm glad people find something in it for them, but not here.
Not for you.
Well, finally, number one Gizmo fan gives it 5 stars, and they say, this is my 6th time seeing the film, and literally, I keep expecting me to realize it's bad, but I've come to the conclusion that it's perfect.
They don't give any reason. They don't feel like they have to back that up with anything.
They don't have to justify it. It just is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
People love this movie, guys.
Well, good for them. Maybe they should review it. Well, they did.
Please just call me Hannah.
Okay, Hannah.
Okay.
Oh, I love you, Hannah. Oh. You okay?
Yeah.
Oh, it's cold. It's gold. Oh. It's gold.
Okay, let's get to tenuous recommendations, where we each recommend a piece of media that is linked to today's movie in some way. And a reminder, if you want to see a list of all the recommendations we have made on the show, head over to our Letterboxd page, which is linked on our website. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to start.
If you do mine, I cannot think of anything else, so I'm going to kill you if you do mine.
Maybe at least you should go first.
I'm guaranteed that none of you are going to do mine.
Okay.
Because it just came out 2 days ago.
Wait, Paul, after all the times you've had a go at me for really shoehorning... Oh, wait, zombies, the fuck?
Yeah, damn.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm recommending a film about zombies and cheerleaders, which is so connected to this film.
And
it's
that is why you... put this movie on to be this week that we would review it.
Guys, I'm the real villain. This is actually one of my most anticipated films of the year. I realized when I got so fucking excited the day it came out. I'm like, I wasn't this excited about any other film that came out this year. Zombies 3. So the epic conclusion to the Zombies trilogy of films, Disney's, the first two are Disney Channel. This one's a Disney Plus original. I fucking love this franchise. I've forced Lucy to watch the first two and,
both for the podcast? Is that?
Both, yeah.
Well, you better complete the trilogy.
Just spoiler alert, next tenure swap, you're getting this.
Yeah.
So, I don't think this one has as many bangers as the first two in terms of like the songs, but there are a couple of real solid ones. This time, they've added aliens into the mix. I actually did a double feature last night. I watched Zombies 3 and then followed up with Scorsese's Casino. And
back to back.
And Scorsese's Casino actually goes for the same length as all three Zombies movies, so I guess they have that in common. Also, they're both films that feature dueling main character narrations, so I guess that's another connection you could make between. So I'm pretty much saying that Zombies 3 is the Casino of the Disney Channel original movies universe. one other thing of note, so the Lizzie McGuire movie, when that came out in 2003, or when it was being made, the director, Jim Fall, who we love on this show, he wanted RuPaul's Supermodel to be on the soundtrack during the big makeover montage. And when he asked Disney to put RuPaul on the soundtrack, they said, no, we are not putting a drag queen on the soundtrack. Oh. So the version of Supermodel that's in Lizzie McGuire movie is actually a cover by a straight person.
Boo.
Fast forward to 2022, Zombies 3 features RuPaul voicing a spaceship.
Brilliant.
And Zombies 3 is actually the first Disney Channel original movie to feature a non-binary character. And that non-binary character is an alien who has a romantic relationship with a lesbian werewolf. So that's progress. That's the gay agenda right there.
Corrupting our youth.
Brilliant.
So Zombies
Sarcasm 3. Sarcasm again, guys.
Zombies 3 is a landmark film. It's a history-making film. Everyone should watch it. All right, Lisi, what do you got for us?
I'm a cheerleader. Cheerleaders and lesbians.
Hey.
Yay.
There you go. Both seen it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I reckon I can't recall.
Well, it's
it might be due for a rewatch.
Yeah, it's a classic.
And I think RuPaul's in that one,
as well. Yeah, but not in drag, funnily enough.
Yeah, so Brandon, your film has to also have
RuPaul.
Yeah.
That's the new rule.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, classic. I think it was 1999. Yeah. And, you know, the current Netflix darling, Natasha Lyonne, who just is so great. There's heaps of other people in it as well, isn't there? RuPaul and I wrote them down. Claire Duval, you know that chick?
Yeah.
Michelle Williams. That chick from Yellow Jackets. I can't remember her name. But you know who I'm talking about.
A lot of people in Yellow Jackets.
Yeah. Cool.
Melanie Lynskey.
Yeah, there you go. I knew it was Melanie something. Okay. Yeah. So a great film. Cheerleaders. Yeah. Lesbians.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a good, it's a gay classic.
Much better than this movie.
Yes.
And yeah, Natasha Lyonne is just hilarious at everything, so.
Cockroach. Yeah. Yeah, she's the best.
We stan.
Yeah.
Brendan, what's yours?
My movie like Cheerleaders Must Die. Oh wait, is that what it's called? Or All Cheerleaders Die?
Yeah.
Is there a I feel like there's a movie called Cheerleaders Must Die or something. Anyway.
There's John Tucker Must Die.
John Tucker Must Die.
About cheerleaders. Yeah. About cheerleaders getting revenge on the guy from Desperate Housewives.
Yeah. I'm not recommending that. But this movie has three L's in the title, and my movie has three O's in the title.
Terrible.
I'm recommending Promising Young Women. I know Paul's seen it. Lucy, have you seen it since?
Yes.
It's
good.
Become, yeah. Both also sort of have a rape revenge plot, so that also could be a tenuous link.
Yeah, why don't you just go with that, you dingus?
Because I like to do something a little more interesting.
He likes to upset us.
For anyone who hasn't seen this, I would say it's like, yeah, that trope like of rape revenge done spectacularly well, far more interesting, far more thought-provoking, and a lot of hilarity as well somehow.
Yeah,
and
such a great tone. You don't see many movies like that.
Some good tunes on the soundtrack.
Yeah, very good. Don't you remember I came on and told a silly story about that? That movie came out the year my son was born, and so I missed it at the movies, and then, you know, like I wasn't really keeping up with all the pop culture, and I thought it was from the photo, I thought it was like an origin story about Harley Quinn. and like everyone was saying how great it was, and I was like, oh great, amazing. Me and Adrian watched it one night, and I was like, this is not what I thought it was, and this is amazing.
So have you watched the Harley Quinn movie since?
No.
Okay. I don't think you'll like it as much as this.
Yeah.
Two things you gotta know about JoJo's Bank. One, there's always a weed stash. And two, it's never locked.
And three, it smells like dick.
So if you head over to our website, you'll see that each of us has ranked every body swap film we've reviewed on the podcast. So my question is, where are we going to put All Cheerleaders Die on our lists? I'm going to be putting it below Selfless and above Fallen, as I feel like it was more enjoyable than Fallen.
What was Fallen again?
The Denzel Washington.
Oh, yeah, that was bad.
Yeah. So, though, I feel like I've got Ice Angel way below that. Look,
I told you, we need to rearrange these lists. Like,
look, I'm going to trust my list. I'm going to put it between Selfless and Fallen.
I'm putting it in between And You Thought Your Parents Were Weird and Christmas Trade, because why not?
That's quite low, isn't it?
Yeah, this was a shit movie.
Oh, you liked it more than Birth, though, so that's a thing.
Oh, boy.
Birth. What a great movie. Brendan?
And yeah, I just feel like it'd be rude, like, not because I found it more interesting. I just felt like it was, they at least attempt to make a movie. So I'm putting it between Fallen and Dream a Little Dream.
Wow. So to Brendan, it is worse than birth as
yes,
well.
Yes, correct. Why is birth the barometer?
Because
the
guys-
cobbler's almost halfway up my list. At this
yeah, now
that's how much shit you make us watch that it just floats up there.
Cobbler's still fifth on the bottom of my list. So, all right, next episode. What do you guys feel like, guys?
I want to see a fish swap bodies with an old man.
On my master list of films that we can do, there is a fish swap, but this isn't
a fish swap, like two fish swapping.
No,
it's yawn.
A boy becoming a fish.
Oh my god!
Wait, is that animated one, the Luca or whatever?
Yeah, no, not Luca.
Oh,
like
no.
it's from the 90s.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, but yes, yeah, so no, we're not doing a fish swap.
I'm
sorry,
but a fish swap sounds like a marketplace thing. It's like, I'll swap with this fish for some potatoes.
Yeah. Like a monger.
Yeah.
Just
bartering.
Heckling.
Yeah.
Yeah. But only fish.
Well, anyway, we are going to be doing a new movie that just came out called Swap Me Baby. And so this is a 2022 comedy where Lily, an uptight businesswoman, and Philippe, a larger-than-life French mushroom-tripping gigolo, are 8 months pregnant. Their therapist recommends a nature getaway at a remote cabin. Their little weekend trip turns into a hilarious adventure when Philippe stumbles upon a magic box that swaps out their souls. Lily and Philippe are tasked with riddle after riddle, not only to get their own bodies back, but to also get a better understanding of their opposite, and what they have to offer as parents. So this will be our first, well, I guess we had Mama Boy, but this is the first time we've had like a pregnant person swap bodies. So
into a person who's pregnant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. A pregnant woman swapping bodies with the father
partner
of the child. Yeah. So could be interesting. Sounds interesting. Good thing about it, goes for an hour and 20 minutes.
Love it.
Hey.
And also that the title of the movie just makes me want to go, swap me, baby, one more time. I just have to do it.
Yeah. So we know what your tenuous link's going to be. Yeah. So I don't know. I think it sounds fun. I'm always up for a little indie flick. This could be our next Inside You or something of that caliber. So
cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe. All right. So thanks, guys. Until next time, don't be a piece of shit on the ground, DPW, and review us on iTunes or Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
And I was Paul Mitzel.
And I was Lucy Thomas.
I was Brendan Levi.
Thank you. Bye.
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 The Swapcast podcast is recorded in Adelaide, Australia. It's hosted by Paul Mitzi and edited by Brendan Levi and Paul Mitzi. Our theme song was written and performed by John Marco of Two Creative, featuring Lucy Thomas, and recorded at Browntown Studios. Our music bumpers were created by Reggie Parker. Contact him on parkerregmusic@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.